Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Life is like the ocean, incredibly unpredictable. What can be predictable is how we respond to what life hands us. My name is Alexandra Wyman, and I am the host of the 4 to Joy podcast. After my husband died by suicide in 2020, I have been collecting tips and tricks to help me rebuild a life that erupted in an instant. Join me as we continue to find ways to navigate this thing called life. So good to be back with all of you today. Welcome to another episode. I feel like there's been so much going on in this month of springtime and with the solar eclipse. And it's just that time of year, as we've been talking about on this podcast, of spring cleaning and clearing out the sludge and all sorts of things. And one of the topics that I realized the other day that I haven't really covered in a long time is what happens when we start working on ourselves and start healing. And I mean, like, true, really deep healing, like what I've been encouraging all of you to do and what can come about when you actually start working through grief, because it's easy to get stuck. I myself have gotten stuck so many times. And even when I think I'm not stuck, there are always things that can come up and remind us, oh yeah, you just gotta keep working, keep going. And so there are a couple of things I wanted to talk about today. And one of them is, one, take breaks if you need to. I think personal growth is just, it's a lifelong journey, and it can be exhausting, or trying to find different ways to have conversations and maybe it doesn't go well. And just a reminder for that self-compassion, I suppose, is what I'm really trying to get at. And take time for yourself and pace if you need to. I know I can get caught up in an idea of needing to continue, because I like how I feel when I feel that I'm healing, or if I do have a hard conversation and it goes pretty well, or I am feeling myself shift and morph and change into being my most worthy self on a more consistent basis. And at the same time, sometimes our body and our mind has to catch up to that. And so being able to pace yourself, or really read your body, read what's going on, and see how that can help you as you're going through your own healing process, or really trying to take those first steps or find those moments of joy, is pacing yourself and taking breaks when you need to. And if you need to numb out for a little bit on binge watching something, or, you know, something else to take your mind off the process, I think I always encourage what I would consider to be healthier options, but you know, do what feels right for you in that moment. The other thing that I wanted to kind of dive into is that when you start healing and making changes, or recognizing patterns, or being able to see, oh, here are things that happened to me in my childhood that have impacted me as an adult. So when we make those changes, even if they're minute, like really small shifts or changes, even if it's the smallest awareness, ooh, I saw that I got triggered by this, or this person says things that trigger me, or anything that kind of starts to increase our awareness that we're having a negative response, or what, I don't even like the word negative, right? But getting to a point of realizing that we're having a larger response than maybe other times. And what I'll say to that is, when we start having that awareness, already the dynamics and the relationships around us shift and change. The problem that can happen is that those who are around us are not necessarily making the same shifts and becoming more aware of themselves. And so you're shifting a dynamic that has probably been around for a long time. It's been set. There are habits in that, in those relationships. There's ways you interact that have become comfortable. And each of us can become accustomed to what those dynamics are. And when someone shifts and changes that, and let's say does it for the better, the way I envision it is, if you guys have ever seen any sort of movie, or I don't know if you're, my child has done this a couple times, where you're trying to carry them and they hold on to the door jamb, or they hold on to the banister, and they're like, no, don't, I don't want to do that. And I mean, I'm thinking of, I think it happens in the movie Liar Liar, which of course is aging me because that's from the 90s. But, you know, that whole idea, that's how I look at when we are making progress for ourselves. We're becoming healthier. We're becoming more in our worth. We're becoming more authentic. It does something to the people around us who are used to us not being there, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that all the dynamics have to be unhealthy or that the way that we interact with each other is necessarily unhealthy, but it's a change. It's a shift. And what happens is that people innately, inherently, without even necessarily understanding or knowing, will not want that. They don't want that change because that change means discomfort for them. And so it's just something I wanted to talk about is, you know, we say don't rock the boat, and here I am, and I'm going to say rock the boat. Do it, because what this will do is bring you right back to what boundaries do you need to set? What decisions do you need to make that are for you and not because of how you think someone else is going to interpret or take on the decision you're making for yourself? And it can be very hard. I will say, like, in this process, I have lost friendships. I have had people who have not been able to grow or shift and change with me. And that has caused our friendship and our relationships to end. At the same time, though, I have met other people or other people that I already knew who actually were on the same, not the same journey, but who are also doing their own personal growth, also trying to heal. It's almost like I found other people who are going to, you know, encourage me and be my cheerleader through this process when other people that I thought would be couldn't be. I think I've mentioned this before. When you have a big loss or something that's huge and grievous and you're trying to work through whatever your mourning is, right? It doesn't necessarily have to be the loss of a loved one. That's just a simple, not a simple, but an easier example to use, right? There are people you think are going to have your back who don't, and the people you would never think would have your back do. And that's kind of how this process and awareness happens as well. There are going to be people who just don't understand, why are you trying to change things? Why are you trying to make yourself better? One of the things I'll say that I have found interesting is that when I have worked on my healing process and I have become more in my worth and authenticity, and like I said, it's not happening all the time. But when it does, right, we're all mirrors for each other. There's a lot of language and literature out there that talks about we're all mirrors to each other. So if there is something that doesn't sit right with us, now this is separate from someone actually not treating us well. I want to make that really clear, because I've definitely had people who have not treated me well, and I have internalized that I must have done something for them to do that. And a big part of my therapeutic process is saying, nope, I don't have to own that. However, when I see someone who has achieved something that I want to achieve, and I get a little ping of, ooh, I'm not good enough for that, that is the mirror. That is me going, ooh, that's not about them. They're not treating me poorly. They just achieved something really cool that I want to achieve. And the feeling of not being enough, or that I don't have something, that I'm missing something that would help me achieve whatever that is the mirror for me to go and peel apart and see what's happening. So in that similar vein, as you are increasing, I know it's happened for me where others have seen me and my growth and how I'm shifting and changing, and it challenges them and their growth. And that's where the friction, why do you need to read those books? Why? You know, I've had several conversations, and let me say, family is always a harder thing, and I'll get into family in a second. But even with friends where I have been told, and I do get excited, right? Anytime that you're doing something and you're like, oh my gosh, this totally worked for me, I want to share it. Now, there are some people in my life that I can go to and I can share it, and they're like, hey, that's so cool. This is never me saying, this is what you should do. It's me saying, oh my gosh, I found this really cool book and it really opened things in my life and really opened my eyes. It's so cool. I don't know if it would work for you, but here, like, I just wanted to tell you about it because it was so eye-opening for me. I can have that same conversation with someone who's like, cool, that's awesome, I'll check it out, because they're open to that. And I've also had conversations with people who go, I don't understand why you want me to join on your bandwagon. You know, every time that you have something that you're so excited about, just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. And I don't have to do that just because you did, right? two very different reactions to the same type of conversation. So with that, it's just understanding that if you feel yourself and if you feel yourself growing and changing in a positive way, and then you feel that you're being tested, it's because what you're doing is working and that other people are you're the reflection to them of ways that they're either stuck or not able to take those first steps. But what's cool is now this gives you an opportunity and me an opportunity for us to be the example of you can do it. Anyone can do this. It is horrible to work through. I mean, maybe not horrible, but for me, I've had moments where I'm thinking, sometimes I'd like to put the blinders back on. Sometimes I don't want to have this awareness. And then other times I'm like, no, because I feel like I'm becoming the person I'm meant to be more every day because I took those blinders off. And no matter the mourning and grief that I continue to do because of relationships changing, I'd rather now I have tools and skills to be able to do that. And I can be sad for those friendships that have ended. I can be sad for the reactions I get that are more negative like that. But at the same time, I can be grateful that I do have other people in my life who are encouraging to me. One of the things that I've had to work through, and again, with my therapist, he helps me do this, is that in an attempt for me to try and salvage some of these relationships that, and it's not like it's that many, right? Like I have had a shift in my life around my community, but in trying to salvage some of those relationships, I'm continuing to try and share things in the hopes of that connection. And it has backfired quite a few times. And my therapist would be like, Alexandra, why? Like, find other people to get that connection. These people have shown you over and over again that level of connection you want with them doesn't exist. And you can mourn that and be sad about it. But you could, like me continuing to try and have those conversations is not going to change the outcome because the other person is not doing their part. So the community shifts and changes. And I'll be honest, sometimes it can feel isolating. Who can I reach out to about this? Who can I, you know, talk to? I'm really excited about these things. And there are ways to find that community and to have people. And again, you might be surprised on who that person can be. This can happen with family. This can happen with a spouse. I will say, like, I started well before Sean passed. I was like, I want to get stronger in my spiritual life. I want to get stronger in my emotional and mental life. This was before he and I met, actually. And I had started that process before, but even some of that process that was happening while he was alive, you know, some of it he would get on board with and some of it he would just say, that's not for me. Like, you can talk to me about it, but I'm just not going to be able to give you that connection that I can tell you're looking for. Because there were some parts of it he was like, yeah, that's just not for me. And so one of the things that I'll say is that active listening, which I am always learning how to do that. And when it comes to family, I feel like those can be some of the hardest shifts. And everyone's family dynamics are different, and you have all different patterns that are coming to the table. And every person in a family dynamic, some are going to be working, some aren't going to be working. You know, there's all different levels of how people are going to be engaging. I can only speak for my family dynamics. I can say there were five of us growing up, and it's interesting the dynamic if there's three of us together, four of us together, and then five. And I will say when all five of us are together, it's almost like you could take us out of this year and move us 30 years ago and plant us there. Sometimes those dynamics come right back from childhood. But as we shift and change, you know, right? Like, we're all changing at different rates. And if some people are changing at a slower rate or not at all, that's where I feel like that holding on to the wall or the banister image comes up, because it's like, why are you changing things? Things are fine. Now, there's so many different ways to combat this, right? You can have physical distance, right? And literally, it all comes down to boundaries. Honestly, it all comes down to what kind of boundaries you're going to have. You can have physical boundaries. I have physical distance from you. so that when I'm around you, it's snippets. I don't have to worry so much. I can handle it for that amount of time. And then I go home and go back to my life. There can be energetic boundaries. I live in physical proximity to my family. So as I shift and change, I don't have that physical boundary as much for that proximity and distance. So I've had to come up with other boundaries. What am I going to participate in for any family events? What am I going to do energetically if I am around family? And given my situation of being a single parent, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, that I had someone, this is a total tangent, but I thought of this using the word situation. I had someone who came up to me. She was actually supposed to be teaching Buddy, and it turned out she was actually bullying him. That's a whole nother thing. I don't remember if I shared this with you guys, but anyway, got through the whole bullying situation. But at the beginning of that, she came to me and she said, I heard about your situation and I'm so sorry. And I thought to myself, she's talking about me being a single parent, or she's talking about my husband dying? Because my husband dying is not a situation. I could see being a single parent being a situation, but my husband dying, like, that's not a situation. It's not like something, I don't know. That just struck me as I'm like, my situation is being a single parent, coming back to that. And just to say, like, I ended up having to confront that woman and let her know how inappropriate. It was fine. We're all fine. He left the school. We're fine. But it was one of those where, if you all have had those moments where people say things to you and you're just kind of shocked in the moment and then have all the best comebacks for it later, that's what happened. Because in my head, I was like, is she is not really saying this to me. Is she? Is she really? Okay. Because then she alluded that being a single parent, the only thing I do is stick my kid in front of a screen, which, again, nothing wrong with that, but the amount of judgment laced on that and how my kid must not love books or read. And I was like, sorry, he started reading at 4. Like, not to say that that's the bit, you know, because that also scares me a little bit that he's such a young reader. But I was like, lady, you could not be reading the situation worse if you tried. Like, you, anyway, so that's a total side note. But my point is that the physical proximity thing with my own personal family is I do rely on them for support being a single parent. And I am grateful that I have that support. However, I have noticed in my own healing process how I have to set these energetic boundaries. And you guys know I have a whole episode on boundaries, which I can put a link to. But the idea is, if there are certain things you can't do, for instance, there are times I'm like, it'd be great to live in a different state, but I just can't at this point in time. So what else can I do to protect my growth and my health to not fall back in to old habits that weren't serving me and that I don't consider to be healthy? And how can I continue to find ways to be in my worth, to be in my authenticity, recognizing that other people may not have that desire or that goal? That might not be, or it may be, and they're figuring out their journey, they're figuring out their way, their tools and resources. I have a good friend I was talking to once, and I was lamenting, like, my blinders are off. I'm seeing this amazingness that's in front of me, not always on a daily basis, but definitely like finding this joy again in my life. And I said, and then I come across people who may not have a desire for that. And her response was so great. And she's like, and maybe that's just not what their soul needs in this life. And it took me a moment. And then I went, of course, right? Because everyone has their own thing, their own goal, their own way. And each soul needs something different. So if you're listening to this, then my hope is that you are on that journey of healing and you are on that journey of becoming the best version of yourself and being able to use this podcast as a tool to forward that for you. And then just a recognition, another layer, if you've already been feeling some of this friction with other people, it's because what you're doing is working and you are getting into your authenticity and you are getting into your worth and you are helping to create the life that you want and the life that you deserve. And that can scare other people around, especially, like I said, when we've been living in comfort, we have comfortable dynamics. We know, right? That comfort creates that predictability, and that predictability creates safety. And when we're working on ourselves to change and grow, that can scare others. I mean, the word that comes to mind is like threaten the safety of that relationship with other people. Because again, what we're doing is we're showing how a gap or how they can continue working on themselves, but they may not be able to, may not want to, and that can challenge that relationship. And other times, not a problem, right? Like I said, I have people in my life where I can say, oh my gosh, this thing happened. It was so amazing. And they're like, awesome. That's so cool. Keep me posted how that goes, right? And then I have other people who might be like, why are you doing that? Why do you have to change anything? You know, it all changes, right? We're all people. We're all trying to figure out this thing called life. So hopefully that's helpful. Just again, I realized I was like, we're talking about all this healing, but I haven't talked about the fact that sometimes because I get to talk to you and I, like I said, have curated my community to be around people who were all encouraging each other for that. But when you're out and about, when you're at work, when you're dealing with kids' sports events or other activities, or when you've known people for 20, 30 years, and you're like, oh, this dynamic just goes back to being the same. That can be really hard. That can be really hard. And to watch those friendships shift and change. So all continued mourning, all continued grief. But again, that grief can help show us and appreciate those moments of joy that you get to have. And I'll end this with one of those moments. I tell people, I just don't belly laugh like I used to. I love laughing. I just don't. Even sometimes I find some movies and, you know, I might get a chuckle. I might get a chuckle out of me the other day. But Buddy has started playing T-ball and he had his first game and it was probably one of the funniest things I've ever watched. We should have had a video of this. This is something that you would find on the interwebs. It was hysterical. The kids were adorable. And it struck me because I said, there's a moment of joy. That's what I want to hold on to right now, because I want more of those moments where I can laugh like that and just feel weightless and just appreciate what's in front of me at this moment. So if need be, look up T-ball games for videos, because it's hysterical watching these little kids. And they just run the races like they're just supposed to, or run the bases is what I mean. But they're supposed to, you know, right, just go to first, go to second. And there were a few kids who every time they hit, they pass their teammates. They'd be like, see you later. You stay on second. I'm running home. And it was adorable and hysterical. I hope that helps for today. Definitely reach out. You guys know how to do that. Share this. Help me get the word out. I just so appreciate all of your support and tuning in. And please feel free to connect at any point in time. And I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more about Alexandra and her work, go to forwardtojoy.com.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many rogues that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga. It's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.